If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the living love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is upping our game plan to accommodate and sustain the new energies of living love. So, if you're ready, take a deep breath and allow yourself to be cleared of everything but your loving. Just allow the Divine Spirit to clear you as much as would be for your highest good this evening, your highest rate of divine containment. Take another deep breath and open and receive the grace of God that dissolves all darkness, all fear, all hanging on to the obsolete and the outgrown. It is time to expand our capacity for loving. So ask, if you will, in your own heart, to be cleared of anything that no longer serves you, your attitudes, moods, problems, all the little delaying nonsense tactics of the false self that tries to dissuade you from embodying your true self. Allow yourself to be clothed with your own Christhood. Every single one, every soul, is the Christed one. The Christed one, simply awaiting your recognition that you would make room to accommodate love. But not just love, loving, because love is always an extension. To make room for greater love is to keep giving that love to more and more people, to more and more situations, to make loving your full-time involvement, your full-time contribution. You keep extending and extending and extending the radiance of your divine loving heart. And the more you extend that love, the more you're filled. The more you're filled, the more you are stretched for greater infilling. There is absolutely nothing else that you're going to take with you into the realms of immortality but your loving. It is your only reason for the gift of life, is to extend the love of the Supreme Creator. Love is what sustains and causes the cohesive factor throughout the cosmos. It is the one thing And once you awaken to it, you no longer thirst for anything. You will transcend every single lesser desire, save this one impetus divine, which is to extend the love of the Supreme Creator through you as a divine hosting. You are hosting that divine spirit. And whenever you are afraid, just know it is because you have forgotten to turn every situation over to love. Every situation must be turned over to the loving. Or you could say the divine spirit, which is the same thing. So allow yourself this evening to make room to accommodate and sustain these new incoming energies of living love. Something shifted the first few days of 2018. More and more of you are sharing that you have gone through something that really shifted within you on the second, third, somewhere in there. So let's continue to examine how we are integrating these powerful new incoming energies. Our two previous seminars, we shared what appeared to be a major shift in the level of energies that we're integrating or attempting to integrate since the beginning of January 2018. For some, like myself, it's been experienced like an entering into a new level of reality or a shift into an alternate, more positive, alternative timeline or higher state of consciousness. But to me, it seemed like an almost new life I had just entered. And since then, this has continued to unfold and deepen as I notice and contemplate what's showing up in my life, what's dawning as new insight. And it is very interesting. It's an adventure that I'm enjoying immensely. And I enjoy it as I keep turning it over to the Divine Spirit for ongoing guidance and clarification, which is what we need to do. We are entering the age of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Shekinah. Sometimes it's referred to as the Goddess or the Divine Feminine. But really what that means is the open receptivity of that part of us that is the bride to the Beloved. And we are opening ourselves to receive new keys and new codes for this new level that we do not have any idea how to navigate within. And so we have to keep turning to the one who knows for ongoing guidance and clarification. And this will come to each one of us inwardly and sometimes reflected outwardly. This seminar could be one of the ways that it's reflected to you outwardly. But it's also reflected to you or transmitted to you directly by the Holy Spirit to the degree of your understanding. and how you process information. And according to your particular mindset, belief structure, the Holy Spirit takes into account where you are parked in your understanding and takes you from there. So it's very individual for each person. So my life has become even more wondrous and magical than ever. And it was pretty fantastic before this shift. So several of you have reported shifts of a similar nature that you've also experienced that first week in January. So let me ask you, my beloved brothers and sisters who are listening, how are you doing today? What have you noticed? You know, we see what we think about. We see what we think about. And we strengthen what we focus upon. And we notice what we are in others. So what have you been thinking about this past week? What have you been focusing upon and therefore strengthening? And what have you been noticing in others? So, one of the things I noticed were not so wonderful. I had sudden insight and realization of ego-based habit patterns that were suddenly brought into my awareness for the very first time. Ouch! Not so marvelous to behold, in fact. They were cringeworthy. And here I drew comfort from a Super Soul Sunday interview that I saw on television between Eckhart Tolle, the author of Power of Now, and Oprah asked Eckhart Tolle if he had completely transcended his ego. And he replied simply, yes. Really? Oprah responded. You've completely overcome your ego? And Eckhart replied, well, let's see. It may reappear tomorrow, the next day, the next minute. I won't know. You'll have to let me know. Because I won't be able to recognize it if it does. So Eckhart Tolle was revealing the fact that one who is in an egocentric state is unable to recognize it. The egoic state is unconscious of itself. It has no higher awareness at all. For it is simply ignorance, the projected imagery of the false self. So the ego is only recognized when one has transcended it to a higher state of awareness. And so those of us that are entering into the greater light of higher awareness, with that incoming light, that incoming soul force, that incoming energy, it's going to reveal everything. It's going to come up. Everything in the consciousness is going to be raised to your conscious awareness. And of course, the first thing that's going to show up is where you've been hunkered down in darkness, in ignorance, in misidentifying yourself with your body and with all the foibles that go with bodily identification. So the things that you couldn't see before maybe have come up for you to see, like they did for me. And so remember that if you're seeing the ego in you or the things that you've been running where you go, wow, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. What was I thinking? Well, obviously, you were thinking you're your body. And that you're a separated self, because that's what the ego is. It's the little belief that you're separate from eternal love. That's all it is. And that is what the root of every fear is. It's the fear that we're separated, we're cut off, we're somehow disenfranchised from the allness of God, the love of God, the abundance of God, the largesse of God, the unconditional presence and love of God every second of our life. And that makes us fearful. And a fearful self is a false self that has mistaken unreality for reality and is confused in the mind and needs to have the mind corrected, which is the job of the Holy Spirit. So if that's happening to you, simply turn those thoughts over to the Holy Spirit every time they arise. Like a little kid, I don't know what to do with this, Holy Spirit. Here, take it and correct it so that I can see through God's eyes. So I can see through the eyes of the Master and know that the only truth is love. Turn to the one who knows and allow grace to set your mind at peace. Because a peaceful mind that is simply the viewing lens, if you will, into this dimension for your soul is the goal of all mantra and meditation, that we could have a quiet, still mind which reflects the divine. And so until the mind is quiet and still and simply serves as an eye, if you will, into this dimension for the soul to peer through, keep turning those thoughts that disturb you back to the corrector, the divine spirit. And every time you do that, you're going to find a lessening of the burden that you felt to fix yourself, to correct yourself, to deal with your guilt. Because when these things get to be revealed to you, egoic things and things you said and done that are cringeworthy, at the same time, if you don't watch it, you're going to have a tremendous sense of burden of guilt fall upon you. And you're going to be tempted to go into despair and self-judgment and all of the things that we go into when we are shown those dark areas. They're not pretty. And so you have to quickly not get into a negative mood, but quickly turn it over to the Holy Spirit or correction. So, know that when one is operating from awareness, which is where Eckhart Tolle usually teaches us how to be present here and now. So when one is operating from that awareness of presence, here and nowness, and is not running old conditioned patterns, the ego is absent. The ego can't be present in present awareness. It's always focused on the past or projected into the future. And it completely cannot comprehend gratitude or love. It has no understanding of that because it is a false thought form of separation. And so it always sees things in terms of fear and lack and not having. There's your root. When you have trouble with money, or you have trouble with relationships, the vision needs to be corrected. The mind needs to be corrected so that you can see the way God has intended you to see, which is through the eyes of the Master, through the eyes of love. What would the world look like to you if you put on these glasses? And they were the glasses that caused you to see suddenly everything and everyone as God sees us. Why don't you pretend? Put on those eyeglasses. And you can only see how God sees. Oh, what a beautiful world emerges. How lovable and loving everything becomes. Well, I've practiced that for many, many years, actually. Not exactly eyeglasses, but I would imagine that I was seeing through the eyes of the Master, until it went from being an exercise to being an experiential reality. And I'm often really moved by how kind and loving people are as I go out, shop, move about. People are so kind, so loving. I really, really notice that. And so, I also, in turn, look upon everyone with loving eyes. It's become just simply the reality in which I live. But initially, it takes practice and continually correcting the mind when it goes into criticism and judgment and finding fault. We just have to learn not to find fault. Because actually, in truth, when we find fault, we're criticizing the perfection of God's creation. The fault does not lie in the outer world. It lies within the mind that sees through the lens of separation and fear. And the only place that can be corrected is by you and I turning that thought over for correction to the one that has the job of correcting it, which would be the Holy Spirit. So you can only see those old ego patterns when you are exiting and transcending them. And that's so very important to remember, because one of the effects of this shift into a higher state of consciousness is being able to see where we were before the shift. We became aware of the formerly unconscious ego patterns we were running. So you see, this new level is one not only of love, but of your authentic being. This new level is all about truth and its unveiling. It's all about compassion. The new energies are surfacing and revealing everything that does not resonate with love and truth. It's all up now. So, as a mirror, the shocking and outrageous things that are being exposed and reported in our daily news, at least here in the United States, reflects this outing and purging that's taking place. So the ego has no place to hide anymore. Truth prevails. And the ego loves to point out the shortcomings and the faults and failures of other egos. For in that, it hopes that we will not recognize our own. Well, seen in this light, we can say that never before in all of history have so many people been awakened by the shaking that's taking place worldwide. The collective consciousness in general is becoming more self-aware and responsive to what's going on. No longer has its head just, you know, focused on its own little 10 acres. It's looking around at the world and suddenly realizing it's part of this big collective. And it needs to make a contribution, or it's contributing to the mess. So in your experience, have you become more aware of some of the ego patterns that you've been running? Are you dismayed at suddenly seeing your patterns of behavior like never before? So, that awful weight of guilt and remorse that will descend on you like it's choking you, that often is the result of seeing these things for the first time, I have to say that the only way out of that funk is to move your attention into a higher level. You have to move your attention into a higher level of awareness. I don't think there's any other way but up. We must up our game plan. We must up our game plan to accommodate and sustain these new incoming energies. We must let go of all of our unloving, judgmental, critical, unconscious, reactive habit patterns. And the Holy Spirit will show them to you. But only so that you can recognize them and turn them over. So every day, something will be shown by the Divine Spirit to you personally that's going to set you free in some manner. Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now there's a hint here. Truth, with a capital T, satyam, never changes. Truth is absolute, unchangeable forever. So we're not talking about these relative things we call truths, or your personal truth, whatever that may be. We're talking about divine absolutes here. So only illusion within time-space is subject to change. It's subject to degrees and levels of difficulty. But in the Course in Miracles, Jesus teaches us that there are no greater or lesser miracles. There are no greater or lesser degrees when it comes to miracles. But every miracle is a shift of the mind from the unreal to the real. From darkness to light. From death to immortality. Every miracle is burst of love. So there are no greater or lesser miracles. Miracles always indicate a shift of the mind from illusion to truth. And the paramount truth is that I am as God created me. And nothing I have experienced in the dream nightmare of birth and death, the ego's nightmare, has affected that divine state in which I forever remain untouched. So there's only one problem, and that's the perception of separation. And therefore, there's only one solution, realized at one-ment. Realized at one-ment. Where you realize you've never left the heart of God. So in short, we must face and vanquish fear. Fear is the form the ego takes in our mind. And so fear arose from the illusion of separation from source or separation from love. So every illusion, every hint of unhappiness, every defense, attack, and conflict can be traced to fear. So fear is the only enemy, the only devil, the only adversary, the only tormentor. And fear is false evidence appearing real. I remember we were in an interview with Satya Sai Baba in India. And a woman said, Baba, I have so much fear. Would you help me get over this fear? And Sai Baba looked at her and he said, fear? Where is fear? Fear has no form. That was the first time I had heard that fear has no form. And then, you know, I was reading one of his discourses some time later, and he said, fear is the form the ego assumes. So fear and the ego are the same thing. And they arose only in an insane, silly thought that was totally false. That we had been abandoned and cast out of the Edenic state and were separated from God. That's the original separation or original sin. The only sin, really. And it was simply corrected by the Holy Spirit the very instant it arose. But you see, out of a single thought, an entire world of separation arose. Because we are creative. It's our nature as godlings to partake of the nature of our Supreme Creator. So we were, you see, in that very instant, in the world of our own imagination that was separate. And in time and space, it seems to endure for centuries and eons of time, even though in spirit, it never really occurred at all. So that was the birth of, let's say, that form that we call the ego or the false self, that time has been inserted as a way that we can bring ourselves through the healing corrective process. So in that sense, that is the only positive use of time and time sequence to enable us to go through this process of returning the mind, having the mind returned through grace back to the oneness that we've always had with Source. So all of our worries and stresses and unhappy experiences and everything that is not full of joy has arisen from fear. And from fear we have projected this fearful, dangerous, nightmarish world that we seem to be entrapped in. But there again, it's only the mind. And it is the destiny of each one of us to be delivered from that fearful worldview into this glorious realm that we've never left except by turning our minds away and focusing on the fearful, dangerous world rather than asking the Holy Spirit to correct how we see things so that we can see things as God sees them through the eyes of love. So Jesus said in the Course in Miracles, whenever you are afraid, it is because you have forgotten to turn everything over to me. So fear, according to Jesus, is entirely under our control. It's always a choice to walk with the ego rather than with the Christ or with love. So we need to learn to not just go off on our own. We need to learn to turn to guidance whenever we're feeling off. Whenever we're not wholly joyous, it's because we're looking at something that's not there. We have made a false assumption, a false interpretation that's giving us the feedback of unhappiness. It's giving us the feedback, don't go there. That's not going to lend itself to your bliss, to your peace. You know, if it robs you of peace, it is way too expensive. Way too expensive. And we give our minds and our attention over to such stupid things. It's amazing. We could be seeing peace and love and beauty. We'll focus on the most negative things. That could be excused, perhaps, for someone who is just totally unconscious and asleep. But for anyone who has been initiated into the light and sound current, to anyone who has been a devotee of Sai Baba or is a born-again Christian, there's no excuse. There's just no excuse for that. You know, there's so many of you that are initiated disciples of various masters and are practitioners of spiritual teachings, bona fide lineages that have produced enlightened people through the centuries. But you have to know something within your entire being, not just at the intellectual level, because that you're not going to carry that knowledge with you into the other worlds. You know, if it's just at a mental level, that doesn't go with you into the immortal realms, unless it's based on truth. The only way you're going to know truth is to dig in and experience and work the teachings. You have to work the teachings, apply them. At least one, according to Sai Baba, one consistently applied teaching will bring all the others in its train. So the keys to operating at a higher love vibration, number one, in all ways use the light and respond with loving. Because everything in and around us is energetic and will mirror and reflect our energy, our state of consciousness, everything. Bear in mind, nothing is inanimate. Sai Baba said that consciousness is in every single atom of existence. Nothing is without the capacity to feel joy and sorrow, according to Sai Baba. So everything is longing for love. Everything is waiting in anticipation that you will awaken as the Christ, as the living Son of God, as one who is led of the Holy Spirit. The entire creation is waiting for you, longing for you, calling you forward to take your place as a Spirit-led Son of God. sun in this place doesn't mean male. It means proactive. We are to become proactive, spiritually indwelt men and women. So we need to move and interact lovingly with a positive attitude at all times, in every circumstance. Now, this requires an ongoing self-monitoring and self-directing until it becomes our automatic default, which comes as you apply the teachings consistently. Whether you feel like it or not, you do that meditation, you do that chanting, you do that those spiritual exercises relentlessly. Relentlessly. And let it show up how it shows up. If you don't feel anything or see anything, fine. If you fall asleep, fine. Just don't stop. Until you are love in action 24/7 or fully self-realized, which amounts to the same thing. So until then, you're going to need to practice an ongoing vigilance and keeping attuned to your loving soul nature until it becomes the outer expression, till you turn yourself inside out and the soul becomes the present being that you presented to the outer world. So to do that, you have to keep yourself clear. Simply do not allow negativity to build up or persist. The second you feel out of sorts or start watching that critical attitude come in, immediately go apart and clear yourself. Take a deep breath. Call for the Holy Spirit to be present with you and release any negativity, any karma, any energetics you may have impassed or picked up in your environment, and ask that it be cleared through the Christ or through grace. Just ask that it be cleared. And as soon as you feel like you're back to yourself again, you know, take a deep breath and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then go forth. But don't allow these things to build up for even a minute. Because another thing that's happening with this increase of energies is that we manifest almost instantly whatever our state of consciousness is. And for you initiates of the light and sound current, good heavens, look out. You really don't have a second to indulge in the luxury of a negative thought. You really do not. When you think a negative thought and you're an initiate with that power that you have, especially if you're also ordained as a minister, wow, does that almost instantly manifest as a hell. So what you could maybe get away with when you were a neophyte and didn't know anything spiritually, you can no longer give any wiggle room to at all as an initiate. Because, boy, can you put yourself in hell in a nanosecond by self-indulgence and negativity. So the people and objects that we interact with and use each day will respond to our loving energy, our positive interacting with them. So whatever you use, invoke the light throughout the day. For example, never use an object, your computer, your car, operate machinery, your household appliances. Never touch things when you're in a bad mood, or you'll just end up infecting the atoms of that object, whatever it is, with your discordant energy, and it'll start to break down. That's when you have problems. Negativity, you see, invites negativity. It invites accidents and mishaps and things going wrong and things not working. Never start your car in anger. Clear yourself Get in your car, call in the light. Treat your car with love and respect. Don't let it get dirty and ugly inside with all your mess. Keep it impeccably clean. Show the car, the elemental that is the little animating spirit of your car, show that car elemental that you appreciate that it is serving you, that it is taking you to your job or to your place where you're giving service or whatever. Same thing with your computer. Never pound on your computer in irritation or impatience. Get some self-control going there. For one thing, slow down. You give way, way too much importance to meeting the standards of the world. Create your own world, your own standards. Move with attentiveness, with patience, so that you do things with conscious deliberation and awareness, and not because you're impatient, you just want to get things done so you can go do something else. That's the ego's way. That's that old, immature way. Time to let that nonsense go. So interact with care and appreciation with everything that you use. Bless it. Place the light around it. Thank it for its service. Did you ever thank your computer? Did you ever thank your car? Did you ever thank your refrigerator, your stove, your washer and dryer? Did you? Do you know in India they won't even use, in many cases, they won't even use a new object, whatever they've purchased, before they offer it to God and bless it? Did you offer your home to God before you moved in, or your apartment? Did you bless it? Did you offer your vehicle, your car, to God before you drove it the first time? Did you bless it? We would always light a candle and incense and go through the car and we'd chant the Gayatri Mantra and we'd bless the car and we'd give it a name. The first thing that would go into any hotel room or any house or anywhere where we'd be would be a picture of the Lord, a candle and incense, and we would chant the Gayatri Mantra. Automatic. God first, God first, God first. If you take care of things like that first, you'll live an enchanted life. I promise you. You will live a life of such grace and such protection. The greatest protection you can place around yourself is to live in loving harmony. Then, you know, you just won't have those accidents and mishaps happen. It's interesting. I would notice whenever I would get irritated or angry, invariably I would cut myself when I was chopping vegetables or whatever, or I'd burn myself in the stove. That was back in those early days when I wasn't aware as I am today. There's always greater awareness, you know. I'm not saying that I'm totally 100% there all the time, but I'm just saying I noticed that I would hurt myself or stub my toe or do something that would hurt my body every time I'd get angry. So even when we allow ourselves to create illnesses, very often we're trying subconsciously to sabotage and to punish ourselves. You know, we do some pretty weird things when we're not practicing higher awareness. So one of the ways that you dissolve discordant thoughts and negative energy is by chanting your initiatory mantra or tone. The name of God actually eats up, like little Pac-Man, it eats up and consumes negative energy. That's why instead of indulging in negative thoughts and negative daydreaming and imagining, just quit it and chant your tone. Just chant your mantra. Any name of God will do the trick. It's the one that you have faith in and that you most appreciate that will do it for you. So you decide, you choose, you pick. But if you've been initiated by a master into any mantra, chant that, because that has been blessed specifically for you. So be aware that you interact lovingly with appreciation and patience as you work with machinery, as you work with objects, as you work with people. Slow down and be more consciously present with what you're doing. That allows, you see, for you to vibrate at a very high level, because love and the giving of love is the highest vibration. And love's interesting. The more you extend it, the more you have to extend. You never run out of love. You only increase your capacity to host more and more love. So important. So negativity attracts negativity to us in the forms of accidents, things breaking down, mishaps, and losses of all kinds. So guard against even the littlest irritation, the littlest botheration, because in reality, love and loving is all that matters. Absolutely nothing else matters spiritually. So be aware that when you're in loving harmony, you will attract loving harmony and harmonious and loving experiences to you. And it serves as your own aura of protection. So watch how everything in life reflects back exact energies and attitudes that we are putting out and expressing. Now, this is where you really watch what you're attracting in your life. So when you're operating out of a negative attitude or bad mood, it will affect your work. Whatever you put your energy into is going to be infected by your consciousness, whether that's your art, or you may be working on a lesson for school, or maybe you're a speaker or a writer. You're going to be infecting, and not in a good way, your message. And another thing is that we need to be attentive to what we're attracting into our lives. Notice if you're attracting disturbances around you or in the people that you are interacting with and attracting into your life. That can be a sign that your energies are out of sync with these higher incoming energies that are now impacting the planet. You know, not everybody's going to be able to respond to these energies. A lot of them are becoming quite erratic. Even crazier, even more demonically cut out, cut off. You know, when you're operating out of the ego, that's when you become vicious and all these crimes are committed. All this crazy behavior. That's because people are not aligned with the love of the soul that they are. They've completely made a block between that higher energy coming into the mind and being able to influence their actions. However, Sai Baba said there is no one without a spark of the divine, and sometimes real evildoers will self-correct because they will become so shocked and ashamed at their behavior that sometimes it actually wakes them up. So, that's one way. But those people who are running a lot of negative habits will probably not be able to host this energy until they've been through a lot of emotional and mental purging of their negativity. And this may manifest in all sorts of ways that could even affect their physical health. So we are being collectively called into a more loving state of consciousness. It's what's happening right now. It's what's happening in the cosmos, and it's what's happening on planet Earth. And it's affecting every single person. And we have to keep moving with it. Love is life. And only our loving will survive. Only our loving will survive into immortality. So just know that everyone and everything, regardless of their behavior, is craving love and approval and acceptance. And if you approach people and life, keeping that in mind, you integrate these new energies just fine. I think probably the greatest fear is the fear of the loss of love, or to be rejected and unwanted, or an outcast. So you can probably trace just about every negative expression to this fear. And people manifest a negative persona very often as a defense mechanism. It's where I'll reject them first so they can't reject and hurt or abandon me or whatever. And that's how the ego, the false self, attempts to protect itself from love, which it cannot comprehend. The ego, you see, interprets love not as love, but as somebody wanting to get something from them. So it's interesting. The ego interprets love as loss or as attack. And that's how egos keep themselves separate from love. So we have to step up our game to vibrate at this higher level of incoming energy in order to host it and sustain it. And for some, this may be harder than for others. And regardless, we each must exert considerable effort to integrate and sustain and move with the energies as they're coming in. We have to keep expanding to accommodate more and more. We have to keep clearing. We have to keep making room for more and more. We have to keep stretching our capacity to host more and more until, you know, we transcend all of our limitations, all of our boundaries, all of our shoulds and should nots, all of our likes and dislikes. We have to transcend all of that to where we're simply love. So this is the new paradigm. This is the new earth energy. And it's one that we keep choosing into. We keep letting go of that which no longer serves us. We keep trusting. We keep turning over to the divine spirit everything that brings forward an unhappiness is false. And we keep relinquishing and letting go, moving toward the loving. And we either do that, or, according to Sai Baba, we'll be swept off into an alternate reality of chaos. Because only the souls that are capable of living in this living love are going to be able to sustain life in this new paradigm. The others will shift off into another reality, another version of the earth, to continue with their chaos and their fighting and their warfare and their all of that. Or they'll move along with the graduating class into Golden Age. So love is the way. Love is the key. Love is the boarding pass into the Golden Age of truth and love that's now emerging. So if we can only see what we hold in our attention and what we think about, it really is important to guard what you hold in your mind, what you think about, what you dwell upon, because that is the world that you are projecting out of your mind until you decide you want to experience the real world. The real world that God has kept safely, untouched and unmarred by all of our shenanigans in time-space. All of our shenanigans are wiped away the instant we fully awaken to the love that we are, to the love that prevails. So I hope this has been helpful. We're all called to up our game plan and to live more consistently in the higher consciousness of living love. So let's close our show with chanting Anaihu 3 times with the intention of sending forth the love of our heart and the light of our radiant spirit to touch to every life form on this planet and throughout all of creation. Deep breath. Anaihu. Blessings and grace to each sentient being on this planet and throughout creation. May all the worlds and all the beings in all the worlds be happy and at peace. Namaste.